The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit. Get break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. A natural form killer, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
Cause I'm real, the way you walk, the way you move.
Oh, you've been digging into some fucking Ja Rule.
I'm real, where you do the way.
Is it Ashanti? Who was it that they're doing that thing now? They're doing that fucking.
No, that was J Lo. I'm real.
It is J Lo. You're right, but it's they're doing the fucking the story. I think BET has them, but they're on Hulu. Like the story of No Limit and the story. And they're doing the story of murdering
Gotti,
right now.
Irv Gotti started talking about how he was fucking the shit out of Ashanti
and grabbing her ass. And yeah, stuff. He's gonna grab that fat ass, and everyone's pissed off.
Everyone's pissed off at him.
Why? How old was Ashanti?
She was of age. It was just like the abuse of like the boss
doing what
he wants to do.
Whatever. Alex, right? Bring your ass over here. Put it in my hand.
Yes. If Legion of Skanks existed, then they would really not be upset with Irv Gotti at all. Like, oh, that's nothing.
That's why that's I lean into it, because Irv Gotti, he's probably pretending to be a good guy out there. You got to fucking just own who you are.
No, I mean, he was arrested for murder. I mean, his
company, company was called Murder, Inc.
No, dude, he's out there, dude. Right. He's one of these guys who's pretending to be a male feminist.
Bacon the funk. Isn't it funny, though, that all of the main guys in hip-hop that were, like, super hip-hoppy, trying to be involved in this, like, kind of scary world of, like, thugs? Like, all of the main guys are, like, were good boys growing up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Damon Dash, all those guys that are the heads of ship. Yeah, they were all like private school kids. P. Diddy, same thing. Like private school kids who were like really good kids. And then they get into this world and they jump right in like head first. I'm like, oh, we got to carry guns now.
Yeah, it's bizarre. He said like the young interviews of Tupac where he's like, you know, fucking, he's like, well, I just want to be a poet and write poems about how much I respect women.
I love to dance.
You know,
Tupac was a background dancer.
Yeah.
Where would these people be now? The ones that died, like, think of all the people that died that no one would give a fuck about now. Or not, like, do you know what I mean? Like, Nirvana may have just gone away and been like, whatever. You know what I mean? Laughable as Guns N' Roses is kind of now, even though their music lives on. Like,
It's almost like. Honestly, GNR has a little bit of respect. So, like, 80s, like,
nothing
hair metal,
respect.
Like, the screechiness is sort of, like, you know, gone. But, like, I feel like Nirvana would probably still be somewhat relevant in terms of, like their music seems like it could have, like, I didn't like it. I wasn't even a Nirvana fan, but I feel like it could have, like, evolved to be, like, adult contemporary rock. Like, Metallica sort of did that, you know?
No, Metallica's never been adult contemporary rock. Adult contemporary rock is like Train and shit like that.
I would call Metallica adult contemporary rock right now. I would not call them metal, whatever their fucking thing is now.
Well, they're classic rock at this point, but it's like,
weird?
They're definitely metal. But I'm just saying, Guns N' Roses, when you see them, I just saw a video of Guns N' Roses online today, like currently performing. And it's just like seeing them, it's just like it hurts the legacy to some degree.
How did you like the Rage Against the Machine? Did you like them? Were they good?
I thought they were phenomenal. Yeah, they were really great. Even with him sitting down, man, what he did while he was sitting down was so fucking cool.
What did he do?
He just like he was so intense with it that, like, you know, he's got one good leg and like you see him kind of like getting up on it on his side, and just the way he's like banging the fucking. He like lay down on the thing once in a while when he was like screaming. It was just awesome. They did an awesome job. Their screen show was pretty great.
you know, as I, their music itself.
Yeah.
It just never really did anything for me. It was, it's great. Like if you're driving or if you're on a run, it's like, but you know what, you know, bugs me about it. The bass lines follow the guitar riff almost like exactly. And unless what's his name is doing like weird shit with his guitar,
Tom Morello.
Yeah, yeah. But it's always like the bass is the same as the guitar. It's like,
oh yeah, there's something.
And it's just, whatever. Maybe because I was a kid when I was like playing music, I was like, no, dude, just do something different, dude. The bass should be a little different, dude. Stop following the exact guitar riff.
Their
just
songs are all. That's one thing about them, though. It's like they're one of those bands. I think Korn had this too, where it's like as soon as they start playing, you're like, oh, this is a song by them. You know what I mean? Like Rage Against the Machine, you know it's a Rage Against the Machine song immediately.
Yeah. No, you're right. You know what I was thinking about this the other day? Like AC/DC, and I want to continue to talk about Rage, but like AC/DC, dude, have you ever heard like
I don't like AC/DC at all, really.
Dude, I love Jay's story.
Have you ever heard a non like popular AC/DC song? It sounds like generic like music that like they can't get AC/DC, so they paid for like a different band that sounds like AC/DC.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I just love that Jay just pointed it out, and once you see it, you're like, oh yeah, it's like you can never unsee it. You go, every single one of their songs, the name of the song is the chorus just saying the name of the song over and over again. Like every TNT. This next one's called, you know, whatever, Back in Black or whatever, and it's always the same. I wonder how the chorus goes to that. It's the title.
Is it going to be Back in Black over again? AC/DC. Yeah, it's just such like middle. They're the most popular like garage rock band ever. It's just like I said, they are the definition of rock and roll. Like, yeah. what genre are they? They are rock and roll.
It really, it's so funny. You shook me all night long. What's the song called?
His next one's called "For Those About to Rock."
For those about to rock.
It's
just
always exactly.
Highway to Hell.
Were they the ones, Jay? Wasn't it when we watched their? I think it was me and you watched their Stern interview together, and they had their album. Their new album was called "Black Ice."
Black Ice.
And the guy, and Stern goes to Black Ice. So what's that? And he goes, oh, you know, it's like the ice on the highway when you can't see it. And he's like, yo, no. But I mean, like, why'd you name the album Black Ice? And he's like, thought it sounded badass.
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, it sounds badass.
There's just nothing to them. It's just, I don't know. Are you looking for a deeper level?
They could be from Texas. They could be from England. I have no idea.
Do you know what's so much like?
I've never heard them talk, dude. I have no idea. They could be from Germany. They could be a fucking South African supergroup.
They're English, maybe? English. I was going to say Australian. No idea.
I did not know that. That's news to me. I thought they were American.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No, they're very, they're very foreign for sure. What's funny to me is going through Australian. I was going through, when I was looking at album titles on iTunes the other day for some of like the albums that I loved when I was younger. Naming an album is almost that. It's got to be just something you go, this sounds cool. Like comedy can't do that. I've talked about this at length with so many things, but like I do love that kind of that mix of like how comedy can't, like a Motley Crue's album when I was younger that I loved was called Theater of Pain. It's like so dramatic. You know what I mean?
It's also when you know what the music was, like it's just so like kind of like poppy and bubbly. So the fact that it would even be dramatic, like is just kind of dumb in itself.
Well, that was the best thing. I always loved like the backlash on Kiss was always so funny. Cause I mean, like they've got two songs, maybe three songs that fucking really kick ass in a way of like you'd stick metal perhaps. But besides that, I mean, it is bubbly fun music.
Yeah. They have some under the radar good songs though. Like I'm not a big Kiss fan, but then you find out like, oh, that's another Kiss song that I like. There's like, buddy,
I saw them live and it was fucking unbelievable.
Was it awesome?
It was, you should bring James if they come. I don't know if they're coming around again, but this is it. But if you can take James, I mean, he would.
He loves long tongues on men.
But I mean, just like the way they come out, like from the ceiling with the flames, and he flies over the audience, like they put on a show, man.
Yeah, I would. I love to take him to that. He loved Coheed and Cambria so much, so
almost 100%. I'd say 90-something% of the people we interview, musicians we interview on SDR show, first concert was Kiss. Hmm. That's how inspirational it is. I never saw him till, you know, whatever, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, but it was awesome.
Yeah. I never really had any interest in seeing them as a kid. It was just like a weird, like when I was a kid, like they went through like the non-makeup phase in the 80s. Like it was,
and
like,
it was real 80s.
Yeah. And it was like, just Kiss wasn't like cool. Like Kiss was really cool, I think, in the 70s. And then it became kind of cool to like Kiss later on, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I completely missed the phase where it was never even a thought.
It was never like cool. Like nobody in my,
I never knew anyone
thought it was cool.
Me either. Yeah, yeah. No, it was passive. My stepfather liked them a bit.
Like, yeah, so. Like your dad would like,
I hear him from
like,
that.
Dude, they're metal. I'd be like, shut up, you fucking loser.
But when I was younger, it was so funny. When I was
Lewis didn't have a dad, but that's how he talked to other people's dads.
Oh my God.
Your dad fucking sucks.
Loser. When I was a little kid, or not even a kid, like an early teen, even the concept of going to a concert was, I don't know why. I feel like a lot of people like in my schools where I lived maybe just didn't go to concerts, but I don't remember hearing kids going to concerts. But how many things I missed as a kid is a mind blow. I probably could have seen
there was no concert
Michael Jackson. I probably could have seen. I remember not going in my like junior year of high school, like Pink Floyd's around. You want to go? Like,
oh, that would have been awesome.
A neighbor asked me and I was like, no, it was already Roger Waters gone, but it was still, Pink
cool.
Floyd, like in their 80s. Yeah, it was like, or like, you know, the not early 90s. It was pretty fucking awesome. Division Bell tour. And I was just like, what? No.
We were going to go see Pantera and Skid Row and my mom wouldn't let us. They're like one of the only nice, good decisions my mom made for us. Whatever year that was, it was probably, I think it had to be 92. So I was 10, either 90 or 92, but I was no older than James. Like I was like James's age right now. And imagine like my mom was.
And what was your sister going to just take you?
It was me and my sister, my 12-year-old sister and me.
Oh yeah.
And we the first concert me and my sister did together, was she at No Doubt? She might have been at No Doubt, but we went to Ozfest together. I'm gonna count that as Ozfest 97 together.
And that's the Pantera thing, right?
That's Pantera. And where people started like jumping over the the walls to jump down in Giant Stadium. Marilyn Manson was there. They were trying to get him to not play at Giant Stadium. It was like all over MTV news. I try to find the story of Giant Stadium banning Marilyn Manson. And by the way, this is what a fucking mark I am. At one point, Marilyn Manson, like, he's like, the owner of Giant Stadium is right up there in that box. And we're like, yeah, like, he didn't want me here. Give him a salute. And we're like, fuck yeah. Dude, we're so into it. I promise you, the owner of Giant Stadium wasn't in that box. I don't even think there's a dude that's the owner of Giant Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, that's Bill?
Right in the crowd.
Bill Thompson, the owner of Giant Stadium. It's probably a corporation owns it.
Yes, dude. Nabisco owns Giant Stadium. Yeah. Right?
And, hey, I was talking to Fred, who owns this joint. Tell Fred how you feel about him up there in the box.
Lewis fell right into it.
Dude, Fred. I was losing it, dude.
Janice, like, let's not even fucking watch the show. Let's go find Fred and bring him out for everybody to kill.
Just dragging somebody out of a box.
Sir, kid, use your head. No one probably owns this. I'm not the owner.
Just some guy who
no
has
one just
box
owns
seats
this place.
At Giant Stadium. We're beating the shit out of him.
So I'm paying a lot of money for these seats.
I'm a big fan. Why would I be here if I hated it?
I'm Ozzy Osbourne's brother-in-law. Hey, if you guys wouldn't mind, Marilyn Manson may have told you that my brother-in-law owns the place.
But it was, me and my sister saw that concert, dude. And I remember the first band that came on was Fear Factory. Right. And I had never seen a fucking metal concert, dude. You got to understand. Bobby just chimed in. I guarantee Bobby was probably at this, and that's what he just chimed in with. Yep.
Was there big
wow. I didn't even look at it. I just scrolled down. Yeah. I was there too.
What was that? Me Loco was Fear Factory's big thing? Or that's Cold Chamber?
That's Cold Chamber.
Yeah. No. Fear Factory, like everything was like, they had like a synth player and it was like just like really heavy double bass. First time I kissed Kristen Welsh, the girl I lost my virginity to, we were listening to Fear Factory. I remember I was at Ozfest and me and my sister were there and we're so excited, dude. This is Ozfest 97. So I'm 14 years old and Burton C. Bell comes out. He's got long blonde hair. And he goes, this ain't no fucking Lollapalooza. Then the double bass just kicked in. And I looked around and everyone just started fucking just going ape shit, dude. And I was like, okay, this is who I'm meant to be. And that was it. I was like, this is what I need to do with the next 8 years of my life. And that's, I love fucking just jumping into mosh pits. But I remember being scared for my sister's life at one point when Pantera was on, like, all the there was like three big mosh pits that all started coming together to form one mosh pit. And then the whole floor, and me and my sister, like, holding on to each other. And I remember I like looked at her, and the crowd was sort of like, you know, you're being like, you can't really, like, you're sort of like, you could be taken off your feet. You know what I'm saying? In like a metal show like that, like, you're being kind of squished and pushed and pushing toward the front. And it's like, it's a very, like, when you're a little kid, and you're not used to it. It's a little bit. And I looked at my sister, and we're sort of like getting away from each other a little bit. And I saw her look on her face, and she was trying to hold in crying. And she's still looking at my face, and I was trying to hold in crying. And we just both had this moment, like, we're going to fucking die. And we had to sort of like get out of there. But that was like my first real.
I felt that when I took Carla to Ozfest lawn, Slipknot. And it's funny. What's so funny about this is the moment that Slipknot does every show pretty much at this point. And it's definitely been like diluted a bit over the years because everyone knows it's coming.
Everyone pushed your girlfriend into the mosh pit.
No, it was the, when the whole place turned, you can find video of this, Bobby, when they spit it out. They come back out to spit it out.
Oh, Wall of Death.
No, not Wall of Death. Everybody get down on the ground.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen this.
And I know you've seen it. What was so funny about it, though, was like, you do we, when we went to see Slipknot, when I was leaving for the tour, and you guys came down to Philly with me. If you remember, like, you guys, we day drank that day. And Dave, you and Lewis, I believe, both were snoring through the fucking that part of the concert. I remember I'm so not like a film it with your phone guy, but I should have fucking filmed that so big. It was like so funny.
I mean,
it's the most intense part of that concert. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were drinking since like noon, and it was like
nine. I think at that point you didn't even have a good like camera on your phone. You had the
what's
it called, phone, which was like the best one out of all of us.
Maybe
you had a Sidekick, and that wasn't a good camera. It was shit video. Yeah, I showed James Slipknot. I showed, because he's so into like Halloween, like costumes. Mm-hmm. I showed him a concert on YouTube, and I was like, this is a band we got to go see one day when you're a little bit older, James. And he was because he's heard Slipknot in the car before, like, which kind of played it. And their pop songs, they hit on like a poppy level.
Absolutely. Isabella, you know, like several. Isabella likes a lot of Slipknot songs.
You don't have to be like,
she was a
like
kid.
They're heavy, right? When they're heavy, they're really heavy. But their pop songs sort of hit on a very melodic, like, catchy thing. Yeah. A few of their bigger pop songs.
Before I forget, that hits.
Yeah, he knows the radio songs. Where he goes, oh, I know this song. This is great. So he likes the songs. And then I showed him. I was like, they're like a Halloween band. I was like, they all wear like crazy masks. And I was like, and I showed him the concert, and he thought it was the coolest thing in the world. He was like, this looks awesome. And it's funny, he's on YouTube. We're watching it, and I guess it just slipped through. A girl just like shows her tits to the camera, and he goes,
he's like,
and I was like, oh boy, fuck.
He's like, I really want to go to this now.
What if he went, ew?
Well, it's funny, if you remember, I told you
he doesn't have a tongue like that guy from Kiss.
When I did the Slipknot tour, I remember doing all the last date was in Hartford, and Carla was going to come pick me up, and it was basically deciding that week if Isabella should come with her. And then like the week, it's not that
how
it
was Isabella
eight or nine. And
it's a debate. Oh, it's a debate.
It's a debate. Yeah. But I was like, but the reason I was like, yeah, I go one, it's actually pretty everywhere I go, where I'm at is timid. You know what I mean? I'm either like kind of backstage or walking on the festival. No, yeah,
obviously she's not gonna be on the floor in the middle.
Right. And I was like, and we can watch the main bands from the soundboard, so we'll be surrounded by nobody. And I was like, that's very like calm in there. You know,
that's what the people in the soundboard thought. They're like, we're surrounded by nobodies.
Yeah, they did think that.
He's a loser and his family. Hey, MC of this concert, get out of the way.
Yeah, move. Well, it was so funny. So I was standing there every night, and I was like, yeah, this is like fine for Isabel to come to, and she'll enjoy the music, like the chaos of the stage. And she came right away, and we're sitting there watching Slipknot. We look up, and there's a guy just finger blasting his girl as plain as day.
We talked about this on the show. You talked to Isabella about this on this show.
Oh yeah. It was wild. And then and then the clown came in the soundboard and did a weird thing with Isabella. It was awesome. But I mean, like, you know, she was eight, and it was like, what the fuck's happening?
What did he do to her? Hold on. What was awesome, Jay? What's your definition of awesome?
The same thing awesome that was happening up on the lawn.
That no, clowns so he would come, do to your, so he would your come 8 year old.
Oh, he had his way with her.
He tied her a balloon, an animal balloon.
No. So he went and, like, did a. He went and like he stood on top of a thing. He would go in there and kind of like he had a few props essentially to kind of break in the soundboard with a baseball bat. And then like Isabel was just kind of watching that. And then he came over and like kneeled down and went like nose to nose with her basically. And then just patted her on the head and like walked away. It was awesome. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
It was an awesome moment, but I'm just saying, but she was just like, that was all foreigners. Like, what the fuck?
They're not, she's about Slipknot. Like, it's not, they're really heavy, but it's not, I almost feel like
they're melodic, dude. It's the same thing as like Korn. It's like heavy, just, melodic.
Even just forget the music, like the show in itself, he does kind of curse. I just feel like what is really in that show that isn't like appropriate for a kid? It is kind of like, she's like, not, a, only, is a not, Halloween
not
show.
Only is it, not only is it, I say appropriate in many ways, it's actually like most of it now, especially the older bands like that, their message is straight positivity.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like none of it.
It always
like
sort of has been like nobody ever.
No,
got,
no,
like,
I know, but I'm saying, but it used to be like, if you're pissed off, take all that anger out. And they used to do a lot of that kind of shit. Like, this is,
think about your dad.
Out. Yeah, it was a little more like that. That your boss is fucking with you, but let's get it all out right now. And now they do much more of
your
like
your mom, your teachers.
Much that more really now. Was. It's more like, we got to take care of each other. We're so divided right now. I mean,
if you have a goal, you need a vision board. Now let's play.
One foot in front of the other.
See it, believe it, accomplish it. Guys, this is psychosocial.
Turn that frown upside down.
The holidays are the season of giving. All right, guys, let's make some fucking noise in here. They're fucking awesome live, though, Slipknot. They really are.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny.
We're going to see Korn Sunday with Evanescence.
We did grow up at a time where it was like, the message was like, kill your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
A big part of it was like, yeah, dude, nobody understands you. You do have to murder everybody in your way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then people started actually doing it. And then everyone was like,
You know what it was? Though? Like, no, people were doing it back then, too, but there was no internet accountability. So people only like... Only so many people read the newspaper. Only so many people are sitting around the TV watching the 6 o'clock news. It wasn't in your face always. So when somebody is like accountable for something, a death, somebody gets hurt, somebody, you're just like, it's in your nose at all times. Everybody's talking about it. It's trending to trend in the 80s or the 90s. That meant like, you know, like a game of telephone. People talked about it at work. Like, you know, it just wasn't going to like.
Well, could you imagine the flack now? Like, I mean, the video, like Korn had Thoughtless, Jeremy, and several other videos that really depicted a school shooting or like a school massacre from a kid.
Yeah, murder all these assholes in your school.
And it was like, there was no, I mean, at least if there was, again, there was no internet really that much. So like there was no flack for, but you feel like those videos would be like in 2 days. It's like that's the headline news is like, so-and-so says they're going to boycott MTV if they don't take this depiction of a school massacre. It's like,
well, you know, but the thing, even before the internet, Marilyn Manson got a whole bunch of shit after Columbine. There were a bunch of people blaming him, but it was, I remember
shit
thinking
for like, for just being, for existing.
Yes. I remember thinking this at the time where I was just like, dude, the fucking Jeremy video, that video played like every fucking constantly, day, yeah, all day long. It was like one of those videos that like MTV would just constantly play. And it was literally, it was like, I mean, really, I guess they were touching on something because it was the story of like a kid getting picked on and then fucking going in and lighting everybody up. Well, and with a graphic fucking like video of all that shit.
Yeah, for sure. You see him pull the gun out.
Like, I'm not saying they should get blamed or anything like that. But like, if you were going to blame someone, like, you'd think that would be kind of like
Pearl Jam so much.
And then they just go, they just literally blame Marilyn Manson for being fucking weird. Like, it's not, there was no like direct tie. It was very strange.
He said he's got the YouTube puts a warning before the Jeremy video now before it plays.
Well, that should stop the problem.
Yeah. You have the Slipknot, you have the Slipknot getting down on the ground thing. Look at that.
May contain suicide or self-harm topics.
May. Does it may? It does.
Remember Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith? Mm-hmm.
Janie's Got a Gun. Yeah, yeah. Her dad was fucking her.
Her dad was raping her, right? Is that what it was? Yeah,
I believe so.
Still feel violence is not the answer.
Yeah. How about talk about it?
Janie's got a gun. It's like, goddamn right, I gave it to her. Wait, what?
Well, it's funny. Go back to what you were saying about you and your sister crying was me taking Carla to her first ever metal show. And we were in the middle of the crowd for that Slipknot thing where they all get down on the ground. and then jump up, and like neither of our feet were touching the ground, and I was trying to like make sure she was okay, and I was fucking terrified. I was like, yo, I've never been in something like this before. It was like, yeah, we were like going up, but the people smashed in so much that it was just, it wasn't a wall of death. Just everyone started going.
Well, there was a thing, and I maybe, I don't know if it's this way anymore, because I just haven't been to a crazy concert like that in a long time.
Yeah.
But it was, you try to get to the front, right? And then everybody would push as hard as they can. It was the part of going to the concert toward the front. And just the entire club was packed in to where, like, if you're on the gate, the people on the gate, their eyeballs are popping out of their head slightly. So their ribs are being bruised. Like, they're being smashed to just be in the front row and to make eye contact and to feel like the singer singing to you like a homo. Like, that's what you want, by the way. The whole time you're in the front row at a concert, you're reaching up towards a man, making eye contact with him, hanging on every word of his. It's the gayest.
I've never done that.
It is.
I've never done that ever.
As you describe it, though, that does sound pretty gay.
It's gay as fuck, dude. I've done that so many times, dude.
Really?
I'm looking at him like, fucking, yeah, like, trying to connect with another man over his art,
reaching for his dick.
I've never done that. I've never smashed up to the front row though either. I've always been
that's
like,
what I'm saying. That's the only
time. If I stay sort of in the middle, I'm like, I can see everything.
That's what you do with your career.
Yeah. If I just stay right in the middle,
you can see everything see happening around you.
There's Kevin Hart.
Tim's killing it.
Oh, there's Bill Burr. Oh, look at all these.
Look at that. If I just cock my head a little bit to the right, if I just cock my head a few million dollars to the right.
What's funny is, dude, there's like literally probably four or five decisions you've made in your life. Is the difference between you having $20 million in the bank right now?
Podcasting with us.
Of skanks.
Yeah, that wasn't a good call.
I've been warned about this by everyone who I worked with over the last 10 years, except the new people.
Hell yeah.
Now what's funny is they say things like this, like you know, like, really? It was like, really, they said this about me, and they're like, life of Legion of Skanks, man. I'm like, yeah,
well, fair. Isn't it weird, like, they're almost, if the standard was like, look, we got these new woke rules, and from here henceforward you're not allowed to do any more of this shit, or we'll ruin you. There almost might be a real pressure to be like, all right, stop doing this fucking type of shit. Like, don't stay away from these topics or whatever. But the standard is, if you ever did it 10, 15 years ago, we'll go back and find it and ruin you for it.
Doesn't matter.
And once that's the standard, you're like, oh, well, then I guess we could just keep doing all this shit.
Might as well just do it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's no advantage to stopping now. So, like, I don't know.
I'm sorry. Let's, I got a little distracted. I'm reading the Janie's Got a Gun lyrics. I apologize.
Are you saying Janie?
Got distracted. Janie.
Okay.
Janie's Got a Gun. I need one to pounce on me there, Jay. And
did
fucking
you say Jamie? It's Shane. Shaney. Song about Shane Gillis. Shaney's Got a Gun.
Janie's Got a Gun. These lyrics, da-dum-da-dum-da-dum, honey. Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so
Janie's
this is...
got a gun.
What did her daddy do? What did he put you through? They said when Janie was arrested...
They found him underneath the tray.
That means she shot him and dragged his body to a train.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
She might have shot him out by the train.
No,
well,
dude,
the spell
she
that
shot
she
him
was
in the
under,
house, right?
What the fuck was the line? The lightning and the thunder knew that someone had to stop the pain. And
tell me now it's untrue. What did her daddy do? He jacked a little bitty baby.
This man has gotta be insane.
Well, baby pussy.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first ones I would play along drums.
That's the first one you learned to play on drums?
It was one of the first ones I would play on drum, and I had the acoustic kick, because it's got a good, like, it's always fun, you know, you play drums, they have that part where it kicks in. You know what I mean? It's like nothing for a while. It's like hi-hat.
Yeah.
Janie's got a gun.
I never really liked Aerosmith. I had a friend who liked Aerosmith. It's like that was the same thing. Like, everyone's dads liked Aerosmith. And this kid, Jimmy Bits, used to like Aerosmith.
That's our age. You say people's dads, and you're right, because my dad definitely knew, like, young Aerosmith for sure. But I also was into music at a time when that like a permanent vacation, like Ragdoll, living in a movie. Like that was, I was,
when, you're a few years older.
You're a few years older than for us. It was that, what was the album with like Living on the Edge? That one.
The one with the cow on the cover. Get a Grip.
Yes. Get a Grip. That's right. When that came out, everyone, I was like in fifth grade, maybe, or something like that. And that's like everyone fucking loved that. Like all, like it's not like Kiss where like there were like my whole fucking like age of people I knew were like all had that album and were into it. I don't think any of us owned a Kiss album.
No. All right. So you're right about that. Aerosmith, to be honest with you, because I guess why people respect them so much, they sort of did put out relevant albums every decade since the 70s, right? I don't know if they've done anything in the past like couple decades. I don't pay attention anymore.
Aerosmith,
new shit. Yeah. But
but they're in there still.
They were out there. They're putting out relevant albums, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, right? Yep. Like that big definitely hits. I remember in high school, that was like when fucking Alicia Silverstone popped. Yep. They had that video that's with right. her and Liv.
I think that was the same album. That's the same album.
With his daughter. I mean, as a kid, that was one of the hottest videos ever. Was watching these two little fucking
Liv Tyler and that slinky white thing.
Oh my God, dude. As a kid, I remember just beating my dick raw to that video over and over.
Remember the weird part when she's lip singing her father while she's doing it?
Yeah, dude. It's bizarre. So the whole bizarre thing is weird. To sexualize your own daughter that way is a very like.
And weren't they like disconnected
from reality? I think he just got to know her at that point. He was like a new daughter. They weren't estranged.
What a weird thing.
They weren't estranged. I think she grew up believing that Todd Rundgren was her father because her mom's just like a groupie chick.
Yeah. Well, idiot, should have checked your last name
or your giant fish lips.
Yeah, and that your
fish lips,
and that Todd Rundgren sucks.
Yeah, dude, I remember
way cooler to find out your dad's not Todd Rundgren is Steven Tyler. That is great news.
In our fish tank as a kid, we named all of our fish after 80s metal people, and
Ricky Rocket,
the sucker fish that sucked all the shit on the side of the with the big mouth, that was Steven Tyler.
Oh, Red Dog living in a movie.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they just eat other fish shit.
Yeah.
Those little sucker fish.
Fish shit, algae, all that stuff. Yeah. Scum suckers, I used to call them.
Ew.
Or just what somebody called it when I was younger. It's scum sucker. Mm-hmm. Rage Against the Machine, though, Lewis, to answer the original question, was awesome.
That was quite a tangent.
It was awesome.
Let's do Plug-a-Rooskies right quick, right? When is this coming out? Friday. All right. So yeah, those shows will be over already. The Offend Everyone tour rides again. Me and Aaron Berg going on tour, we're bringing Zach and Miko on this next little stretch, September 7th, Colorado Springs, the 8th, Denver, the 9th, Las Vegas. And then the 11th, we're going to be at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles doing the Depraved lineup is fucking sick. Corolla, Neil Brennan, Aaron Berg, Zach and Miko, Julian McCullough, and a few other very special guests that are going to be on the show. That's going to sell us. Grab those tickets. Crazy lineup. Other things in September: Tampa, Albany, Syracuse, Plano, Texas. All those tickets are up on my website right now, lewisofskanks.com. Grab tickets for those shows and all the other ones that are coming up on the tour. We're touring to the end of January. And make sure you guys, if you love the show, subscribe to Gas Digital. Use the promo code LOS. Get a 7-day free trial. Keep your membership. You save $1.50 a month on your membership. It really is the most worthwhile money you're going to spend. You get thousands of hours of this show that are not available anywhere else in the internet. You unlock the on-demand library for all of the shows, ad-free episodes, unfree episodes, racist live chat access, and many other member benefits. And check out my other shows here on the network, Yo MMA Rap with Dave Smith, and the Real Ass Podcast, the realest podcast in the land. If you love the show, you will love the Real Ass Podcast with me and Zach and Miko.
Good day.
Getting a coffee while you plug it.
ComicDaveSmith.com. That's the site. Got some new tickets. Ticket links will be up there this week. So check out for that. And I'm going around. I'll be on some big podcasts in the next couple weeks. Should be fun. That's it. Part of the problem. Yo MMA Rap. That's all.
Fuck yeah. BigJComedy.com for all my dates this weekend, everybody. If you're listening live, you still have two more shows on Saturday. Catch me at Tampa Improv. There's still tickets left. It's a big, big room. There's probably some tickets left. Come check me out there this weekend. Next weekend, I will be in... Oh, that's when we're doing the makeup show for Bert Kreischer sitting in Mississippi. That's going to be fucking awesome with a great lineup. After that, Magoobies in Baltimore. I have Columbus, Ohio coming up. Me and Ari Shaffir doing the one night, two shows in Las Vegas when we're going out there to scout. So that's going to be a lot of fun shit coming up. And I'm all over the place. West Palm Improv coming up very soon. So stay tuned for more dates. Go to BigJComedy.com. Get tickets for those in advance. Make the club excited that I'm coming. Help. Stop hurting. The Bonfire, 5 days a week on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and Dan Soder. And, of course, the SDR show right here on the Gas Digital Network.
Now.
I guess his new coffee, he's French pressing, I guess, this guy.
You know what? I really hate, I hate single Lewis.
Yeah.
Because there's no one there to bring him coffees.
I know. Dave, just so you know, I'm going to slide that gun so far up Lewis's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely leaning toward you're going to get this done.
I think so.
I think 15 Lewis, points. I think it hurt.
15 points isn't a lot of points. I have to make seven more baskets than him, eight more baskets.
Yeah, I think the fact that it got pushed back to Skankfest really hurt Lewis because he was like preparing and shit. And then I think he just, it was like, fucking stopped playing and didn't get into it. So anyway, that'll be
he
fun.
He's still playing. He says he's still playing.
I don't believe
or he started
him.
Playing again. But I know he likes the individual like victory games. He likes the Fortnites and those kind of running around and shooting people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you
I'm
end
more
up
of a basketball
this,
guy than a public massacre guy, and Lewis is probably more of a public massacre guy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Than a basketball.
And then you think about this. If you win this, we get to figure out what the rubber bet is going to be for gun in the butt.
That's true. I have to win by 19 in real basketball. all bad bets.
Yeah, no more real basketball bets. Let's retire that.
Retire that now. how's the tattoo healing, dude?
Good. Yeah.
Nice.
Not bad.
Good size.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah, I dig it. It's fun. It's a fun one. All right, real quick, let's take a moment and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Zippix Toothpicks. Zippix Toothpicks, a great product, whether you're trying to just cut back on smoking, or you might be trying to get more nicotine into your system. Zippix Toothpicks might be the answer.
Maybe you've never smoked, but you thought nicotine is the drug for you.
Yeah, maybe, dude. Maybe, so, you know, dude, I can't inhale things, but I love to clean my teeth.
Damn,
guess what?
Nicotine.
Zippix is made for you. They've supported thousands of people who've tried to kick that smoking habit with their sublingual absorption that gets you the nicotine buzz even more quickly. It comes in six awesome flavors.
Six flavors.
Yeah, dude, they have a watermelon mint for our Black listeners. Mm-hmm. And if you can use
Zippix, everything you need in one.
You use Zippix anywhere. It tastes like your father was still there. You can use Zippix anywhere you want. If you're not allowed to vape or smoke, there's no smell, no smoke, and no hiding cigarette butts. And it costs way less than cigarettes.
Way less. Okay?
Where do you got to go to get these toothpicks?
ZippixToothpicks.com. Z-I-P-P-I-X Toothpicks.com.
Damn.
And use the promo code LOS10, and you're going to get 10% off your order.
Damn.
That's how we play it. LOS10 for 10% off your order over at ZippixToothpicks.com. Go make your order today. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, what's going on? Look, I know nothing about John McAfee, and I don't really care about John McAfee, you know, regardless of...
care about his virus protections.
Well, here's... Apparently, there's a rumor right now that he faked his death.
As I could see it.
I think the only...
There's a documentary coming out about him now, too, right? On the whole Netflix.
He's a fucking crazy, interesting person.
He's just a lunatic, right?
Yeah, he was insane. I had him on my podcast. He was crazy. Like, but
oh, you talked to him before?
Oh, yeah. I had him on. That's the only time I ever talked to him. I never met him in person or nothing. But
interesting guy.
Yeah, if it makes sense, he was kind of like one of those, like, literally like an insane maniac, but you could tell like there was like some genius there too, and would say things sometimes where you were like, ah, shit, that's a really fucking interesting point. But he was crazy. He was like, he was like a person of interest in a murder. He married
like a neighbor or something
in like South America somewhere, I think. And he married a chick who was like a fucking like a sex slave, I think. That's what he said. At least she was like a hooker, and he said she was like forced into it. You know what I mean? And then he like got her out of it, married her. He was a person of interest in a murder down there, and then fled the country. Then he ran for president on the Libertarian Party. Then he like, you know, like it's just like crazy. And then he was like, the fucking feds were coming after him over tax shit. And
yeah, so he was in a Spanish prison, and apparently he said he killed himself, right? And that's the story. Now, this the Spanish prison hasn't released the body, right? That's been a thing, right?
They're fucking it.
And this
they're stuffing him with candy first.
This this is they're preparing him for the Day of the Dead.
They're painting one of those wicked ass masks on his face.
This is his girl or his ex-girlfriend said she got a phone call less than 8 months after the, him killing himself, allegedly. And she goes, after his death, I got a call from Texas. It's me, John. I paid off people to pretend that I'm dead, but I'm not dead. And apparently goes on to tell her she's one of three people that knows he's alive.
Well, and thanks for telling everyone.
People, well, no, she said this. She started off the interview by saying, now, I'm not sure I should be saying this. No, bitch.
You're not sure?
No, bitch. You should not be saying this, you psycho.
Wait, did he say tell everyone or that I'm one of only three people?
Did he say tell everyone or don't tell everyone? Time out.
Oh, Jesus. For her?
That's her father's name, Jesus.
Jesus Herrera?
Herrera.
According to Herrera, she and McAfee, who was living in San Pedro, Belize, started dating when she was 18 and planned to marry.
Nice.
McAfee and Herrera fled the nation in 2012, the nation of domination. They left for Generation X. So I've been watching a lot of wrestling documentaries. After the suspicious deaths of his next door neighbor, Florida man, Gregory Fowle, Herrera not
what a shitty,
only...
What a shitty superhero. Florida man?
Herrera not shows only up and asks for the person of interest, but also recruited her relative, prominent lawyer Telesforo Guerrera. That name's wacky. His side of the story.
Florida man's arch nemesis, Telesforo Guerrera.
He says they're after him because he didn't pay off the government. They wanted to hurt him to get rid of him. So he says, in the so this is all from the fucking this documentary that's out.
Yeah,
Lewis, why are we talking about documentary shit?
First of all, I'm talking about a story that I read about. I had no idea.
Everything in the documentary is a story.
Can I be honest with you? Everything can be in a documentary. If we're going to play by those rules.
Yeah.
I didn't go, hey, dude, there's this new documentary out.
No, you said, what's this McAfee story? You knew I was going to say, oh, there's a new documentary, which I did.
I set you up.
And then Bobby bring up this, and then Bobby brought up the clips, which ended up being a fucking documentary.
I set up Jay for the lowest form of podcasting.
I just feel like we're spending all this time talking, which to me is the lowest form of podcasting, when we could be watching this trailer.
Trailer for the
documentary trailer.
Go ahead, Bobby. Play the trailer for the documentary, please.
I hate it. It's the worst.
I'd like to see the doc. I'd like to see the trailer. I haven't seen the documentary.
Yet. There's no way to know it's the worst until you see the trailer.
I'll come in Monday and I'll tell you about the documentary. Right now, this is trailer time.
Good opening.
Inside that home, Gregory Farr was shot once to the back of his head.
Before he was murdered, Fall complained to authorities about his neighbor.
Wait, go back to the beginning. I swear to God, I thought I was pronouncing it wrong, but this guy was so bad at speaking English. He called him Farr. He did like the Asian thing. He calls him Gregory Farr.
Gregory Farr was shot once to the back
but
of
it
his
is
head.
Foul.
Who hired this guy to speak on microphone?
Listen afterwards when they say it right. They say it right.
Gregory Farr was shot once to the back of his head.
Before he was murdered, Fall complained to authorities about his neighbor, software security pioneer John McAfee.
Mr. McAfee was nowhere to be found.
He said he had gone into hiding because if police found him, they'd kill him.
Oh, hello there. I'm John McAfee, founder of the McAfee Antivirus Company.
I get a call. Basically, the biggest story in the world just drops in your lap.
And we are ready to rock and roll. Intel bought his company out for $7 billion.
Aren't you being a fucking journalist? Like, that's your life? Like, dude, I get a call. The biggest story in the world just dropped into my lap. Here I am on a jet on my way to Russia. Like, you fucking loser. Fucking asshole. Care so much about what other people are doing. Fucking dickhead. Sorry. I don't like journalists.
The plan was just to film this man on the run, but I didn't know how far it could go.
My life depends on this, my friend.
John created software to spy on everyone.
I'm hearing everything you're saying.
Some powerful entities were trying to set John up because of all the information that he possessed.
Call it truth, call it secrets.
They wanted to get rid of him.
John, where are you going?
What truth did he possess?
What in the f*** is going on here? We're heading to the Bahamas. The Mexican cartel was out to kill him.
They had given me...
I think this is how Anthony Cumia sees himself.
I'm living a John McAfee life.
Anthony's running from nobody. It's like, they're not after you, Anthony.
No, I gotta get to higher ground.
So is McAfee a successful entrepreneur who went mad and killed his neighbor? Or is he the potential savior of America?
This is a dangerous man.
I've not found a human being who did not have a secret.
I mean, am I the only one who's just like, I don't care?
I don't really care about that part. Like, maybe it killed him, maybe it didn't. I don't know.
Just don't give a shit. I you know.
I'll probably watch it.
I can't bring myself to watching documentaries. It's really, I have a difficult time getting there. Like, I want to get into them every once in a while, but then I'm like, I don't give it. Like, I like that Blackfish one. That was a good one.
Oh, about the orcas?
About the killer whales. That was pretty good. But I'm just not, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't watch too many documentaries.
They're all just sort of set up like the same way. It just, yeah, it's
the story,
like,
I don't know,
like,
though. It's interesting. You
actually talk about it in your act, Jay. Like, that's sort of why I don't like them, is what you say. Like, you're like, how any documentary can sort of like convince you of anything.
Sway me that, yeah, I'll go completely the other direction.
Yeah. So, my problem with them is that, like, anything can be edited to sort of tell any story. So, I just feel like I never feel like I'm getting the full picture. In it,
well, I don't like, right? What I don't like.
So I'm just, I go into it skeptical and kind of annoyed to begin with.
Well, if you go and see, there's been some that one about the Asian girl at the hotel thing, where it was like they have the video of her. It's like, did she see a ghost? Did she whatever? Like, she saw something and went crazy, and then she vanished and disappeared. And it's like four episodes, like an hour or something each. And it's like, they get in all this like conspiracy theory about what it could be, when they know the answer the entire time. That this whole thing culminates in them finding out that she was off her meds and climbed into this water tank, not knowing that she wasn't going to be able to get back out of it. And she fucking died in there. It's such a cut and dry thing. And then her family was even like, yeah, no, when she was off her meds, she would go crazy like that and do things like that. And it's like all these things, like, was it a conspiracy to put tuberculosis into the drinking water? It was like crazy shit. And then but to make 4 hours of documentary knowing the answer is just like, no, it's like so unsatisfying. Yeah, the answer, you're like, what the fuck was that?
Well, there's things like that, like where they are just like, it's like this is like actually irresponsible. Like, what are you doing? You're like entertaining these crazy ideas when you know it's the guy who made fucking documentary about Kurt Cobain and what his wife killed him, or whatever.
Broomfield or whatever, Nick Broomfield. Yeah,
I remember watching the one he made about Tupac and Biggie, and I enjoyed watching it at the time. Sure. But then seeing just like people's breakdowns on it, where you're like, dude, this guy just presents it like it's this iron case, and it all falls apart completely. Like, it makes no sense at all. Like, they'll be like, you know, like, he's basically was saying that Suge Knight had Tupac killed. And I remember just hearing one cop who was like a LA PD guy at the time, and he was like, oh, there was no cover up as to why we didn't look into this. It's like, dude, no one hired
he also
someone
got shot.
to shoot into the driver's side window when you're driving the car. Like, this is
to kill the passenger.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, in the movie, he's like, you know, Suge acted like he was all like hurt, but really the bullet just grazed his skull. And you're like, that's still pretty fucking close. Like, no one's like,
like, what type of sharpshooter did you think I hired that it can graze my skull?
He goes, hey, if you could do it, just graze me. Just nick me a little bit. Make it look real good. It's like, no problem.
with the exception of the Doors, I'll watch a documentary, though, over a biopic. Almost any day of the week. No. The biopic fucking sucks.
I like a good biopic.
Oh my God! They why I'd you're like not to, getting any of the real story?
Okay, fine, but let's play a couple trailers for biopics and then see how they stack up to the documentary. That's
the
trailers.
Best way to probably figure this out.
Yeah,
trailer off. No, yeah, the biopic is they're always fucking nonsense. I can't take those fake. You know, again, Biggie Smalls fucking called everyone in his life that he had problems with to put it right and tell them how his life, he was going to turn his life around and be better right before he got into a car to get shot.
Look, I just watched a goddamn biopic. Which biopic did I watch?
I don't know.
I just watched one. Elvis.
Oh, how is that?
They don't really get into it so far,
but they don't really get into it though. Right. They don't fucking, they don't show him like hanging on to a 14-year-old till he can marry her with a,
yeah, they're not trying to. They're not trying to point out that he was a pedophile. No,
right. But that's the biopic right there.
It was. It was interesting. It was like from the perspective of the Colonel manager. Who, yeah. Who? Yeah. He apparently like ripped him off a bunch. It was kind of interesting. You know. It was. It was. You know. It was also like the way they did it. It's that guy Baz Luhrmann. So yeah. You have to get past that you're watching like a gay man's wet dream.
Yeah. It's just a lot of neon fucking color, blinky colors and shit.
Yeah, it gets a little bit distracting, but it was good.
Did you love the Romeo and Juliet movie?
No, but the two girls that I hung out with in high school, Kristen Welsh, who I made out with for the first time to Fear Factory, yeah, and her best friend, Alyssa Riccardelli, who was my friend John Hickey's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I've mentioned all these people today.
Yeah.
Those girls loved the Romeo and Juliet movie. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio
loved it. Yeah.
Loved it. Just dumb fucking nerdy bitches.
Chicks really loved that movie.
Specifically nerdy bitches. Cool bitches did not like that movie.
Maybe the coolest girls did not for sure, but I'm telling you, hard pressed to find out. That was DiCaprio in his wettest haired, floppy haired look ever. Double guns. They loved him.
I liked it to a certain degree because it kind of reminds me of like that time in my life, but
I never even saw it, dude. Fag test. You failed the fag test.
No, fucked up. Can I hate that, dude? Fuck.
I liked it a little. I didn't even see it. You fucking Momo.
Dog, you know, can I tell you the problem with it? And maybe I'm crazy, but I felt like they didn't act it out well.
Probably.
Like I feel like there was like a lot of like poor, it was like being done poorly because they were trying to pack so many stars into it that
wait,
it just
so you
didn't
rewatched it recently.
No, that's what I started off from what I remember.
Oh, this is just from what you remember. Yeah, see, I failed the fag test too. I did watch it back then. I don't remember anything. I remember that they spoke like they used the actual like fucking text from Shakespeare.
I knew that.
And that's literally all I remember.
I remember him pulling out a gun from under his armpit and being wet and his hair being in his
no face. And on the end of the gun it said Montague. It was pretty cool. They had the stylish,
and then he,
like,
yeah, and then
shots.
He like, took his shot and he missed his shot and he had to go back and this is Gangs of New York, forget it.
Yes. No, he was retarded. Well, dude, remember like he was in a tree, his mom was
mom
fat.
His she mom was
the house down. Right. Is that the movie I'm thinking of?
Wait a second. That's Gilbert Grape.
I mean, hottest retard in the world.
It turns out he's not a detective. He's a crazy person. That chick from Dawson's Creek killed his kids.
Who knew, by the way?
You know what? This might not be right.
If Leonardo DiCaprio was a retarded kid, that he was like being cleaned up and a haircut away from accidentally scoring the hottest chick in school. And everyone would be like, dude, you fucked a retard. She goes, what? I was so drunk.
Yeah, what else do I remember from the movie? I remember that Mercutio mm-hmm. was played by the black
Johnny
guy
Legs,
in the
right?
wheelchair from
oh,
Oz.
Yeah. I fucking know his name, too, and I can't think of it.
Daisy.
Henry.
Whatever
Bordeaux
it is.
Or something like that.
Wheelchair, yeah. Black
Harold
guy,
Perrineau,
Oz.
Yeah,
he was there. And then John Leguizamo, who's been complaining, by the way, about Latin people not getting roles, right? So he was complaining
Johnny Legs.
About
he's been in everything.
John Leguizamo. Oh, Johnny Legs. That's what you're saying. Yeah, John Leguizamo. He was Tybalt, by the way. That was the character that he played, who was Juliet's cousin. I know a lot about Romeo and Juliet, so you guys should know. But
you're a hopeless romantic.
John Leguizamo has been complaining about what's his name? He got cast as Castro. What's his fucking name?
Mm-hmm.
He's also been Me Too'd. He was in the Monkey movie, Planet of the Apes, the new one.
Okay. He's a Hispanic guy?
They had a roast of him on Comedy Central. He's a handsome man. He's not Hispanic.
Rob Lowe?
No. He's friends. He's friends with the fat, nerdy Jewish guy, Seth Rogen.
What's his fucking name? Yeah.
Jonah Hill?
Everyone's freaking out of the chat right now. Like, people are losing their minds, screaming it at the top of their lungs. Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Okay.
I know you're talking about, too. I'm just handsome. Blanking out, man. Yeah.
He's in the Monkey movie. Come on, dude.
Franco.
Thank you, Alex. Fuck. James. Bobby wrote in the chat, Harold Perrineau.
No, Harold Perrineau.
No,
that's the name of the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, that's the one Jay was looking for before.
It's much funnier if it was your guess at this one.
Harold Perrineau. That's the name of the wheelchair guy that you were saying.
Did he really go down for the
They tried stuff? To.
I heard
too, like, good.
No, he is down. I think you're wrong. I think Seth Rogen like disowned him.
Yeah.
He just got hired to play Castro. Fidel Castro in a major. He's not done. Yeah.
Okay.
But
Seth Rogen disassociated with him.
It really does fucking depend. Like it really feels like with Louis, if he had if his thing had come out 6 months earlier, or I feel like now today, I think he just would have been much better. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he would have really taken the fucking hit that his career took over it. It's just like, it was right after Harvey Weinstein, just bad timing.
Seth Rogen did. It's almost a similar thing. You sort of see it happening with those comedians that like all those LA guys that started going down. Right. I think that there was sort of a behind the scenes thing where they were like, look, dude, I got to publicly not be your friend because this is my career. I got a family. I got a kid. It is what it is. And they all just go, yep, this is Hollywood. This is the name of the game. And they sort of accept what's going on there. And I think that's what happened with Seth Rogen, because Seth Rogen, if they were fucking boys at the height of both them being 22-year-old fucking, people in Hollywood, he witnessed some fucking crazy shit. He watched him be a fucking creep to chicks, unquestionably. And I think he would just went to James Franco. I was like, look, dude, I'm A-list and I got to continue to be A-list. Like, behind closed doors, we could fucking hang out, do our thing. But publicly, I got to do it. And I think James Franco's also Hollywood too. It's like, oh, I understand. I would do the same thing to my friend, which is crazy because we're not built that way.
I don't think they're sneaking around to hang out. I think he probably fucking done with them.
Maybe.
I mean,
yeah, that'd be my guess.
In a time where you were just living under accusations and no proof of anything, and your friend bags on you, I mean, what says there's fire where the smoke is more than your best buddy being like, yeah, I'm going to disassociate for a while.
I think they're that disconnected from it. That is the play in Hollywood. You go, no, I'm a A-list Hollywood actor. I disassociate from you. That's that. It's emotionless. They don't have emotions. It's a soulless industry, right? And I think that this is indicative of it, because I don't think
friendships are soulless, though.
I don't think that from that you know whether or not James Franco is guilty or not. I think that is just a simple political move. That's just the play that they would make.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, but it doesn't make him look good.
It doesn't make him look good. Yeah, if he was just I love James, and I'm sure he's gonna this will all come out that it's bullshit or something.
What were the Franco accusations that he was sort of a creep with chicks, and he would scenes with them?
He taught a class.
They were young though, right? They were underage or no?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so that's the big.
I think it was promises of work, or I'll put you in something, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's see his IMDb. Let's see where he's at right now. What he's doing. Let's see.
It definitely hurt. The accusations hurt him for sure.
No, it didn't help.
You have James Franco talking about it.
Yes, I do.
Please pull it up. I've never heard him talk about it.
All right. This is part of a news story, but they cut the bit where he talks about it here.
I absolutely love Seth Rogen. You know, because a lot of people come up to me I love Seth Rogen. I worked with him for 20 years. We didn't have one fight for 20 years. Not one fight. He was my absolute closest work friend, collaborator, and we just gelled, and what he said is true. You know, we aren't working together right now, and we don't have any plans to work together. Of course, it was hurtful, you know, in context, but I get it. You know, he had to answer for me because I was silent. He had to answer for me, and I don't want that. And so that's why, you know, it's one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you today is I don't want Seth or my brother or anyone to have to answer for me anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, but what's that? I want to hear him answer. What does he say? That's kind of interesting. I feel like, by the way, just from my perspective, that makes me think he's more guilty than his buddy throwing him under the bus. Not being mad at your buddy for throwing you under the bus makes me think, oh, you're guilty, dude.
Yeah, dude.
If you're talking about it,
fuck him, dude. He's my friend.
But he's doing another Hollywood political thing, too. They're all like just that. None of it's real. Like, you actually see that. I think that proved my point, which is like, yeah, he had to come out and people are asking him about it. And he's A-list. Like, silence is deafening in this industry. So he's like, oh, he has to answer for it. And then he just makes that. You watch it happen with Schumer, with Metzger. Like all these people are like, they're friends. And then it's like they go, cool. Your agent comes to you, your manager comes to you and go, how much of friends are you really? Do you want your career? Because this is if you're trying to go for fucking tens of millions, A-list movies, you're trying to be fucking in Disney, you're trying to be in Marvel. You can't be friends with people who are being accused of sexual assault and rape. You got to disconnect from that. And that's the trade-off, is that you have to be willing to do that. Now, I'm not, even if I was talented enough or if I had the option to be a Disney or a fucking Marvel guy, that was never important enough to me. Who I am at my core, it's more important to get my boys back. You know what I'm saying? Lewis,
I will sell you down the river in a heartbeat.
I think you will. I don't think you're lying about that, to be honest with you. I think I can see you being that guy out of all of us. I think Jay's not that guy either, though.
Jay, you really think I'm that guy?
No, I'm kidding. Look how defensive Dave's getting.
Because you made it real. I was joking. Like, wait, really? You seriously think I would do that to you?
No, honestly, the three of us, not to suck Lewis, on dick.
Lewis rapes. He's always raped. He always will rape. And he's my friend.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That,
you guys have
get that microphone out of my face.
If you guys ever tried to fucking throw me out, like, they've watched me. They've covered for me. So let it be known.
Who do you think made sure that no one came outside the door?
But I do think the three of us sort of, we do have that in us where I think loyalty to your fucking boys and fucking whatever that dumb bro code is, I think it's important to guys like you and us. No, I think something like Ari,
if I found out, like, genuinely, I mean, if you told me that you like murdered someone in cold blood, I'd be like, dude, you have to turn yourself in and go, like, do what's right. Like, I'd encourage you behind that. But if someone then, like, came up to me and was like, so how about your friend Lewis, who, like, you know, murdered someone in cold blood? I'd just be like, I don't have anything to say to you.
Yeah.
I'm not like, I wouldn't, no matter how horrific what you did is, it's not, I'm never going to be the one who then publicly goes, and I am just so appalled that
you start trashing me. Like, first time he's ever killed.
Do you think your friend Lewis would rape? I'm like, come on, man. Don't fucking, that's what you're opening with. Yeah. Hey guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our amazing longtime sponsors over here. Actually, sponsors for all things Gas Digital, of course. That is Yo Kratom. You know the name. You've heard them for years on this show. They are absolutely amazing. Quality, lab-tested Kratom sent to you at wholesale prices. And they are the home of the $60 kilo. We know that. You get to get your Kratom in kilos. Anything in a kilo rules.
Yeah.
But it's also Kratom, which makes you feel fantastic also. Yum, yum, yum. YoKratom.com.
Yummy, yummy, yummy in my tummy.
Yummy, yummy, yummy in my tummy. You have to get through the nausea, and then it starts to feel good. Just like heroin, everybody. YoKratom.com. They are the marquee sponsor for not just Skankfest, but they are also the main sponsor for Yo MMA Raps, correct?
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yo MMA Rap. Sorry. Yo MMA Rap. Nailed it. YoKratom.com, everybody. You know them. You love them. Check them out. Let them know the Legion of Skanks sent you over there. One more time, that's YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the fucking funny.
But Franco, look, I weirdly follow, like, the reason I think he's innocent is because I believe that people that spend tens of millions of dollars on major motion pictures I don't think that they like risking that money. So I think that they've done their own vetting to a certain degree, much more so than you or I reading a couple articles or reading a couple interviews are going to do, right? Because
I see what you're saying. The fact that he's still in movies now, like the fact
he's making movies right now. Yes, 100%. So this other guy, remember the Flash movie, they're putting like, this is a fucking DC movie that's just being shelved. I believe that's happening, right? They're not even releasing the movie because this guy,
the Flash,
yeah, went ape shit in the middle of it. We haven't talked about this guy
wacky,
at all, by the way.
Dude, he is fucking wacky.
It's almost like he does. It's not real. Like, this is out of a movie in itself. How crazy this
Ezra
guy is.
Miller.
Yeah, he's a. Do you know what's going on with this guy, Dave?
He's Ezra trans now or something.
I heard something about it, but I don't know the details.
But he's
Bobby or Alex, if you know more details about it, please chime in because I don't know a ton.
He's right out of his tree, this kid.
Right, he was like dating an underage girl, and then he like he kidnapped from her family. Yeah, no, dude, it got. It's more, much more than just him being. Yeah. It's not him being like a fucking wacky lefty. No, he like is a criminal on the run right now. He's like in a compound somewhere. I'm gonna give you what I've heard just peripherally. Tell me how much I have wrong, how much I have right. He like started dating this girl who was like underage, like talking to her online, or a few different people that were underage online, guys and girls. Then this one girl like fell in love with him. Then he went and picked her up from her house. She's like 16. He left this, took her over state lines. He's been like wanted for the police. He was in some like held up in some compound. Now he has like followers. He started like a culty type thing. How much am I off on this?
There's a lot of that. That's right. I have his his Wikipedia about the.
I was gonna say his IMDb. What's that gonna tell us? I can tell you. In between all that shit you were just saying, he was in the Flash.
Here, there's a couple of things.
All right, so it's 2011.
Yeah, there's been he's been a little bit crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Let's see the Hawaii arrest
in 2020. So he has about 9 good years. It shows him, there's a video that surfaced, shows him strangling a woman and throwing her to the ground. It was confirmed by Variety to have taken place at Preco Cafahus, a bar in Reykjavik that Miller frequents when he's in the city.
Time he's in Preco Cafahus?
Yeah, he always pops into the, it's a very famous bar in Reykjavik. Well, when he's not dicking around there, he goes to Hawaii. And there he was arrested in March 28th of 2022 following what police said was a physical altercation with patrons after having hurled obscenities at clients at a karaoke bar and was charged with disorderly conduct and harassment. 3 weeks later, he was again taken into custody for second degree assault by authorities in Pahuha. Oh, jeez, uh-huh. He was arrested 20 minutes after the attack during a traffic stop. What a fucking lunatic, man.
It'd be funny if they were all video, if you it was to... all at karaoke bars.
What video?
This video that they're that Jay's talking about in Hawaii.
All right.
Okay. But maybe do you want to or got to do the Hawaii video first?
No, I got assaulted and I started filming.
Okay, that's him.
Stories outside.
He's filming.
Yeah.
I'm assaulted in this bar twice in a row.
Okay, so I don't really care about the police camera footage of him talking. Go back to his charges because that's not even the weirdest shit, dude. The weirdest shit is yet to come. Relationship with Takata Iron Eyes. So this is some fucking.
Here we go. The tribal court issued a temporary order of protection against him on behalf of 18-year-old activist Takata Iron Eyes. Her parents, Chase Iron Eyes and Sarah Jumping Eagle.
We're drunk. We're hammered on the side of the road.
This is made by Judge Grabbing Eel.
Judge Tiki Haka.
Use violence, intimidation, threats of violence, fear, paranoia, delusions, and drugs to hold sway over their child.
She goes, oh, I know her. She's Sarah Jumping Eagle's girl.
So the relationship nice between them, which began in 2016... when Ezra Miller was 23 and Iron Eyes was 12, also included Iron Eyes flying to London in 2017 to visit him. Iron Eyes dropped out of school, which her parents believe she didn't.
Look, her name was Iron Eyes. I thought she was a superhero. You're not going to sit here.
Yeah, as age doesn't matter when you're a super fucking hero. in August is former collaborator Oliver Ignatius. Oh, this sounds like a fucking shit crew. That he had witnessed Miller verbally abuse. Hang on, I gotta move my chat. Iron eyes over her wearing makeup. She defended Miller by referring to the incident as a catty moment and part of a queer dialogue. She called the allegations of abuse homophobic. Now harassment.
She defended him. Yeah. Ride or die bitch. I like it.
He was wearing a bulletproof vest and brandishing a gun before pestering a child uncomfortably, touching the child's hips. What? Just threatened a woman's family and showed inappropriate behavior.
Jay, you're doing what I do, which is just reading
I'm trying to read the thing right, but I'm trying to get to the parts. There's a lot to fucking read. I don't want to bore everybody. The child's mother told Business Insider that Miller had known the family since February, had taken an interest in the child because of the style and maturity level, and had offered to start a clothing line with the child and fund their attendance to design school. The mother also said that Miller considered the child to be a powerful, mystical being who would be lucky to have Ezra to guide and protect them. Shortly before the order was granted in June, the mother stated that he arrived at the family's house dressed as a cowboy and attempted to buy the child horses. Yo.
Well, she is an Indian.
What the fuck is this?
Hey, you want to play cowboys and Indians with me?
Yeah, I got Vermont, the horses. Vermont farm incident. I'm telling you, this is crazier than you think, dude. It, like, the whole thing is nuts. It's like more than like him assaulting somebody in a bar. He went apeshit, and he's got a major film that's just sitting in the can right now that major. They can't release now.
It's the Flash movie, dude.
It's a DC movie. It's, how much is the probably a $300 million budget or something crazy?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
I bet something like that, yeah.
So the point I'm making is that I don't think, like, they typically
so don't. So James Franco's innocent is what you're saying. That's where this all comes
from. I'm just saying that James Franco is in the new Castro movie.
And Ezra Miller is just playing the fucking game, dude. He's just playing the game, the Hollywood game right now.
It's so funny. This all did come from I was talking about John Leguizamo, $200 million budget. John Leguizamo was mad that James Franco got cast as Castro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because he's not Cuban.
Because he's not actually Cuban, but apparently Castro is actually Portuguese and James Franco is Portuguese.
Suck on that. Now Johnny Legs is fucking racist.
But yeah, Johnny Legs is all like, but it's so funny how many roles that John Leguizamo had that was not a fucking Puerto Rican guy. Like, he played an Italian plumber. He played
a woman in To Wong Fu.
A French midget in Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. A dinosaur in that one movie.
But not only a French midget, he walked around on his knees and was like, I'm a little person. It wasn't even like...
Dude, keep bringing CGI up Bobby. Or anything.
It was just the most... It's a little person blackface to get on your knees and put shoes on your knees.
Bobby, do me a favor, please bring up the American Dad John Leguizamo scene. It's the funniest. It's exactly what we're talking about. Why he sucks. You remember this, Dave. No. For sure.
I'm sure I will when I see it, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's 2 seconds, but it's really fucking funny how they just capture him completely.
Yeah.
But yeah. We'll cut this part out.
No, it's all right. Keep it in. I like a little bit of silence sometimes. Use it.
Yeah. Take a shit right now.
Lose it.
You guys listening, if you need to get any work done or something, just start right now.
Now's the time. I'll do a little dab a do while we wait. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Keisha from the block.
Yes.
They only have this one short clip of him. But,
yeah, it's very short.
It's very short. Okay. I thought it was a longer clip.
Please,
a
silence.
I'm Keisha from the block.
I mean, it's the shortest thing ever.
Yeah, that's not.
I remember it now, though. That really doesn't capture any of the funny part of it.
So he said he made a bunch of money and he had to spend it. So he goes, I hired John Leguizamo to come entertain us. And he goes, John, do one of your crazy characters. And he goes, this is Keisha from the block. And he goes, hey, I'm Keisha from the block. And he goes, I don't know, John. I don't know anybody like that. He just closes the door in his face. I don't know, John. I don't know anybody like that.
That's such a great point. John is one of those characters that aren't like nobody.
Yeah.
Don't exist, dude. Like, who is this?
Aichi, Maichi, Hachi, Potatoes. Anyway, that was all of my neighbors when I was younger.
Like the janitor is a fucking like fucking mariachi band leader. It's like, what is happening?
Or exactly. The guy at the bodega who's the best philosopher in the world.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck, that's funny as balls.
All right, let's watch one final video before we go. I want to watch this Fox Attack.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Never seen
Attack on Fox?
A fox with rabies attacks a woman outside of her home.
Hilarious.
Could be funny.
Fox. Foxes are really small, right?
I think so. I think they're like, the size of small dogs.
Still be scared if it was coming at you, but I'd boot it.
Oh, yeah. It would be freaky, but I'd kick the fuck out of it.
Especially because it's got that fucking gray hair.
Once it gets you, though, like that, ow, that does suck.
Ow.
Boof. There you go, lady.
Ooh. This is how bad her kicks are, dude. I would fuck, literally, dude, I would split that fox in half with a fucking kick.
Man, that fox is not afraid, dude.
You want to get it down. You definitely don't want it on you.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's really funny.
It's on her finger. That's hilarious. This guy comes in.
He goes, oh, good thing I was walking with my big stick.
It's awesome that the fox was actually afraid of the dude, but not the girl. He runs right away, dude.
It looks like he's dribbling him good. And then he's like, oh, sorry, a dude,
shit.
That is fucking hilarious. That is hilarious.
She's like, well, I'm mangled with rabies now. She kicked him and he bite her shoe off.
He didn't give a fuck about that woman. Dude, her trying to fucking spin it off her head as it's biting her is the best.
Dude, when she spins it, she's on a different part of her body. It's like she spins it on her leg.
Like when you try to flick a booger and it gets caught on your thumb and then it gets caught on your middle finger, then it gets caught on your thumb again.
Oh, shit, dude.
I didn't think this video was going to be this good.
You gotta put Sweet Georgia Brown over this.
Dude.
Her best kick did almost nothing. It's like, well, Tammy, I don't know if like a son of a bitch got me. You think once you get it off once, it's over. It's just,
oh, there's volume?
It climbs her body when it goes from legs to arms. The old time.
Is there volume on this?
Up, oh, dipsy doo, dunkaroo. Yep, up, oh, fake it through the legs.
Oh, that fox was not kidding. So, what was the end result of this?
I bet she was fucked up.
She's dead.
No, she's not dead.
Son, no, but she had some nasty fucking gashes all over.
Graphic photos. Let's see.
Ooh.
Yikes.
Oh, yuck.
Yuckarooski.
Guess could have been worse.
Oh, that's not that bad, guys. Honestly, ew, what's that?
What is that? Is that like fucking
somebody draw style? Cartoon blood over the real blood? What is that?
That's the sunlight's hitting it.
Yicky.
Not so bad,
dude. That is every inch of it. The ending of it too. Just the fox being like, dude. Oh, there's a guy. Dude. And runs away. And then also at the end, just be like, got your shoe, bitch. Like it just fucking takes her shoe. Oh.
Also got your shoe.
What does the fox say? Nom, 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 nom.
Oh, man.
It takes the shoe. Like, why did the fox even want the shoe?
She's like, man, I am all fucked up.
Dude, all right, so there's a video. All right, so KSI is fighting. We're going to play this before we leave because it's actually pretty funny because I was thinking of what does the fox say. I don't even want to watch the video that he's reacting to. I want to watch his reaction to this video. It's KSI reacting to a racist song, and they made a racist song.
Who's KSI? Is it
KSI? Or he's a British guy.
Famous YouTuber. So he's one of the, he fought Jake Paul or one of those guys, right?
He fought the other Paul brother. Logan Paul. And he's fighting this weekend. Shout out Sam Hyde, who's fighting as well on the card in England.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
Really cool. And I'm going to actually get it Saturday afternoon. I'm pretty excited. It's on Dazen. So KSI is fighting on this card, but there's a video of him reacting to this racist song. And it's just essentially like, it's, I think it's called, What Do the Blacks Say? Dude, it's so, the song itself is kind of stupid, but kind of funny, but his reaction to it is pretty fucking hilarious.
White goes high, Canadian says A, Mexican goes
half a night day,
Arab goes
wrong,
French goes
oh.
And the Asian says
oh, hero,
German goes yeah, WAP goes E. What does the black say?
Is he fucking serious?
What the black say?
How the fuck is how's this man to cheer me up?
What the black say? Give me all your
guys, I can't believe this is an actual
give me
thing.
All your money.
Why is Coney?
They can say anything.
Oh my god.
Somewhere deep in Detroit.
Actually, the song does rule.
Oh my god.
Can't say what you want. It offends no one.
Oh shit.
We'll always blame society. Nothing's your fault.
Nothing's your fault. So funny.
In a white man's
world. Are you fucking taking the piss?
Oh, jeez.
It's the best thing.
I want to bone some white girls.
All right, we got it.
Oh, dude, it's. I mean, look, listen, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying it's way better than okay. It's
good
great.
Rules. It's hilarious. It's just unquestionably the way, hilarious.
The setup between just like it being like cute little things that they say about everyone, and then the whole rest of the song just being this vicious attack.
chicken now. Chicken
so
now.
Obama eating chicken a bunch.
It's so delightfully racist. All right, whoever made that video, the original one, who made that, Bobby? Do we know? It's just some fucking meme. So it's some kid that doesn't even want to be famous. They just were like, I'm going to create some of the funniest fucking shit ever. And it's so, it's racist and offensive for the sake of being racist and offensive. I don't believe the person who made that was racist. I don't believe the people that laugh at that are racist. Maybe some racists laugh at it as well.
Oh, they might racists will laugh at it for sure. But that's, I don't know if I would think the person who made it is a racist.
It's a perfect piece of comedy. What do you want me to say?
Well, it's just like, it's almost in the same spirit as a lot of the shit we do, where it's like, you go, it's so goofy that it's obviously not like literal.
It's ridiculous.
Like this is to be ridiculous. Yeah.
It's like, hilarious. That's going to be my ringtone.
Man, another fun one, gentlemen.
Really fun one, dude.
All be together this week, this Monday, coming up at the stands for our live show. No,
we won't. Lewis is out.
I'm in Italy.
Two of us will be there.
Me and you, Jay.
We'll figure it out. We always do somehow. But you'll be missed, Lewis, as always. But we'll have some fun guests on.
Have fun, Lewis.
Catch you guys Monday. Yes, Lewis, have fun in Italy. And we'll catch you guys next week on Legion of Skanks. Peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch up my magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay...
Fucking stick your fist up your ass if you have lube.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.